Project MKUltra was a human experimentation program implemented by the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency intended to develop procedures that could be used to psychologically manipulate or brainwash individuals or unsuspecting populations. It was a covert continuation of scientific experiments conducted by German scientists during World War II on human subjects during interrogations with hallucinogenic substances such as mescaline, with the stated goal of eliminating the will of the person being examined. The CIA project was a continuation of these earlier Nazi experiments by exploiting the advances made by the numerous German scientists who were hired to work for the U.S. as part of Operation Paperclip. The post-World War II American MKUltra program used numerous methods to manipulate its subjects' mental states and brain functions, in addition to high doses of psychoactive drugs, such as LSD and other chemicals like scopolamine. Without the subject's consent, the CIA used electroshocks, hypnosis, sensory deprivation, isolation, verbal and sexual abuse, and other forms of torture. MKUltra's scope was broad, with activities carried out under the guise of research at more than 80 institutions, aside from the military, including colleges and universities, hospitals, prisons, and pharmaceutical companies. That said, the attempts at psychological manipulation was not restricted to individual experimentation, but implemented on a large scale to influence public behavior through the infiltration of various forms of media, including film and music. John Holmston, a retired CIA agent, has admitted on national Russian television that the CIA was behind the creation of the 1980s hip-hop scene and financed major hip-hop acts including N.W.A., Afrika Bambaataa, and Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. The government at the time spent, quote, big money, serious money, on this covert operation destined to further division and corrupt the American youth to nihilist, anti-establishment, and anti-American ideologies, he explained in a half-hour interview broadcast on national television. Famous hip-hop songs of the legendary hip-hop outfit N.W.A. were even scripted by a team of psychologists and war propagandists of the CIA. F the police, and when I'm called off, I gotta sawed off, squeeze the trigger, and bodies are hauled off, and other nihilist and anti-establishment lyrics were intended to unleash a wave of cynicism towards authorities, promote the use of heavy drugs, and entice the youth with revolutionary counter-establishment ideas. The retired CIA agent claims the social engineering maneuver was extremely successful. Quote, we understood at the time that music was a powerful means of propaganda to reach the youth, explained the 77-year-old man. Our mission was to use teenage angst to our advantage and turn Generation X into a decadent, pro-drug, and anti-establishment culture that would create uprisings and further division within society. We even infiltrated mainstream radio to promote their music and reach millions of people every day, he admitted, visibly proud of the accomplishment. For many of us in the CIA, infiltrating the 1980s hip-hop scene was one of the CIA's most successful experiments of propaganda to date, he acknowledged during the interview. The retired CIA agent, who was granted a Russian residence permit in 2011, also claimed Liar Cohen, commonly known as the tall Israeli who runs hip-hop, is a CIA asset. When it comes to engineering culture, no one touches Liar Cohen, Holmstead admitted. He ended up promoting rappers such as Jay-Z and Kanye West, and more recently brought Migos and Young Thug to prominence. Some experts openly admit hip-hop nihilism, which was expressed in the use of harder, more self-destructive drugs like heroin, cocaine, and methamphetamine, pushed United States President Richard Nixon into the war on drugs, a campaign of prohibition of drugs and foreign military intervention, with the stated aim being to define and reduce the illegal drug trade within America and around the world. Quote, "The chaos we caused in America helped the government justify overseas wars of plunder to Middle America. The country wouldn't be where it is today without hip-hop." Of course, hip-hop is not the only musical genre that has been infiltrated by the CIA, and certainly not the first. Many popular musicians of the second half of the 20th century, like David Crosby, John Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas, and Frank Zappa, grew up on military bases. They also resided in Los Angeles, in a military intelligence base on Laurel Canyon, where they were allegedly involved in the CIA's MKUltra program, a mind control operation whose real focus was to produce or at least manipulate the 60s counterculture scene. Jim Morrison was one of the earliest to arrive. He was son of the U.S. Navy Admiral in command of the warships involved in the false flag operation known as the Gulf of Tonkin Incident of 1964, which was used to justify the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War.
There's a conspiracy out there about Laurel Canyon. Now, Laurel Canyon is out in California, and there was a Air Force watchtower out there back in the late World War II area, back in the 1960s. And back then they had a studio there. Now this studio had a soundstage, a editing stage, a animation editing room. It had everything. Now this place, I guess, was used for the atomic testing footage. So all that footage was taken to this studio in Laurel Canyon and was edited there. And was processed. So after they got this, you know, they reviewed all the footage from the atomic testing. Now what's really strange about this is, a lot of musicians came out of this place back in the 1960s. Actually, all of those hippie musicians that you hear actually came from Laurel Canyon. Now, a lot of people say that these musicians had ties with the military and with the studio up in Laurel Canyon, which was an Air Force base. So, as the Vietnam War was going on, this hippie movement out of Laurel Canyon started becoming very popular. And in fact, Jim Morrison's father, Stephen Morris, was a very highly naval officer, very high ranking. And he was actually part of the Gulf of Tonkin, which started the Vietnam War. So as this was going on, his son, Jim Morrison, was becoming very popular in the cultural movement. A lot of famous artists came from there. Even the Beach Boys came from there. Now, the Beach Boys, got very famous back in the day during the whole hippie movement. But also, Charlie Manson was very popular too. Now, Charlie Manson was a songwriter, so he would actually write songs for the Beach Boys. Now, if you don't believe me, here's an actual song that he wrote, and this is, in fact, him singing it.
Give up your world. Come on, you can't be. I'm your kind. Oh, your kind, and I can't see. Walk on, walk on.
So, you know, that right there is, you know, Charlie Manson. So he was very popular with the Beach Boys and with the other groups. And of course, we all know what happened to Charlie Manson. So, you know, it's very, very strange, guys. And what I'm trying to say is this could possibly be an MKUltra type of experiment on society back in the day. This was what was a way to control the youth. They weren't really sure what was going to happen with the youth during the Vietnam War when when it was all going to happen. They were probably afraid of retaliation, maybe people getting violent, actually. So they needed some kind of opposition control. And maybe these musicians were a part of that. So Laurel Canyon, if you haven't heard about it, go ahead and look it up.
The Laurel Canyon compound was recently purchased by actor and filmmaker Jared Leto for $5 million. The Army Air Corps officially built this top-secret movie production studio in 1947. Military training films and top-secret Department of Defense documentaries were produced, including a series on above-ground nuclear tests in Nevada. That said, celebrities like Marilyn Monroe and Elvis Presley are also said to have worked there, signing non-disclosure agreements. Oh, and Timothy Leary lived across the street. For decades, a so-called anti-propaganda law prevented the U.S. government's covert broadcasting arm from delivering politically deceptive programming to American audiences. But in 2013, that came silently to an end with the implementation of a new reform passed under the Obama administration as part of the National Defense Authorization Act, which included an amendment that nullified the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, which explicitly forbids information and psychological operations aimed at influencing U.S. public opinion. Critics claim that the act also unleashed thousands of hours per week of government-funded radio and TV programs for domestic U.S. consumption in what has been criticized as a green light for politically motivated social engineering and U.S. domestic propaganda efforts. The U.S. government has been pulling the levers behind the scenes in Hollywood for decades, from funding the 1954 animated movie Animal Farm to more recently Transformers and Iron Man. The propaganda comes in many disguises, including patriotic musical lyrics, comic books, and even abstract expressionist art. Sometimes the spin is so subtle, audiences don't even notice the CIA or military intelligence are calling the shots. American operatives aren't the only propaganda artists in the world, of course. They just happen to be the most sophisticated. And propaganda is most impactful when people don't even think it's propaganda. And in actuality, the government has influenced thousands of movies, TV shows, and programming targeting children, portraying certain racial populations as born oppressors, and promoting a woke ideology and antisocial behaviors. Politicians, activist groups, and cultural institutions, including universities and companies like Disney and DreamWorks, are being weaponized because they're deliberately inserting propaganda and social engineering into their content to perpetuate their far-left agendas, including a cultural decline in traditional values and justifying a demographic shift that mainstream media denies is happening. As an anthropologist, I feel it's my responsibility to bring attention to the blatant attempt to derail the strength and fortitude of the family unit by eradicating national identity, concepts of ancestral heritage, racial and cultural affiliation, free speech, and even the biological notion of gender, in an effort to replace a sense of pride in local community with a globalist Marxist persona that is easier to manipulate and govern by an unelected authoritarian sect of totalitarian communist dictators. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon and through all other major book outlets. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description. Please subscribe for future updates. Leave your thoughts below. Have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.